Ephesians 3:14-21. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you that you may be strengthened in your inner being and power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than we ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The word of God for the people of God.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, how you all doing?
Good.
All right. Well, one person's doing good. That's okay. I'll tell you, whether you're feeling good or doing good, God is good, right? And that's a great comfort to me when I'm going through different things or just got stuff going on in my own mind or my own heart or circumstances in my life. I have confidence in the goodness of God. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump right in, and this is our third in our series of messages on the idea that grace is greater. And 2 weeks ago, you heard Anya encourage us that grace is greater than our mistakes, or you could just flat out say our sin. God is greater than that. She even talked about how God can even redeem those things and use them for good and for his glory. And last week, Andrew spoke on how grace is greater than our hurts. And in typical Andrew style, he had us all in tears by the end of his message. And as we realized that God is greater than our hurts, this powerful time. So again, Anya mentioned this. My message today is actually will not be found in that book at all. So I got to sign something that takes us out of that a little bit. But it still is on grace is greater. And it's grace is greater than our limitations. And this is something pretty powerful, and hopefully the Lord will help me to communicate it to you here today. Grace is greater than our limitations. So I know that most of us had dreams and ideals when we were younger, and in many ways, maybe for some of us, we haven't realized those dreams. Or maybe some of those dreams, we've even stopped dreaming about them. And many times, the reason we do that is because our own limitations got in the way. We had these big dreams when we were young, but then life kind of hit us head on, and we realized maybe I'm not going to be able to accomplish the things I thought I was. In fact, when I first entered into full-time vocational ministry, now 38, almost 39 years ago, I honestly thought, and I had people tell me, that I was going to be like the next Billy Graham. Well, that hasn't exactly happened. Now, God's been gracious. I've had a long and God, you know, I think fruitful ministry, many people that have come to know Jesus, but certainly not on the scale of a worldwide, you know, evangelistic crusades with, you know, 100,000 people coming out to them. And so when I look at that sometimes, and if I spend too much dwelling on that, I can start to recognize or just say it's because of my own limitations. I'm just not as good of a speaker as Billy Graham, or I just don't have the charisma of this other person. And so we get in this danger when we start looking at, you know, things like comparing ourselves to other people. You know, when I look around, and this is, you might think this is funny, but when you're a pastor, you look at other pastors, and they've got churches of, you know, 5,000 and 500 and 800. And so there can be a tendency to look inward and say, well, what's wrong with me? And what I'm doing is, when I do that, just being honest with you, is I'm focusing on who, first of all, on myself. And when we look at ourselves, we are going to see almost nothing but limitations. You know, and so the funny thing is that naturally speaking, I'm actually fairly confident. Like I walk into a room and it doesn't intimidate me. I'll be there, do what I need to do. But in light of that, or even with that, there is this sense of being painfully aware of my limitations. In fact, the truth is we all have limitations. You know that, right? You do. Some of you aren't willing to nod your head in agreement, but I mean, I'm just sorry to tell you, you and I have numerous limitations, actually. And this is part of the problem. This is why we're talking about this here today. So not one of us in this room sees the whole picture from every angle. Not one of us is gifted with every type of gift there is, right? There is no one on this planet. The only person on this planet that was perfect that ever lived was Jesus. And all the rest of us are living within this reality of limitations. Do you know everything? No, do you? Do you know every possible contingency to every possible plan or decision that you might make? There's no way. None of us do. So I'm going to take my statement even further. We are all severely limited. One of the things I love about the Bible, and we were talking about this morning, is that not only is it open about the flaws and limitations of its main characters, it seems to make a great effort to actually highlight their weaknesses. Think about that. This is why I have such confidence in the Bible. Because if I was going to create a religion, just because I thought people needed one, I would never create Christianity. I wouldn't do it. Not the way it's portrayed in the Bible. Who are some of the greatest heroes of the Bible? Just name me one. Anyway, I'll try to work with this, see if I can do it on the fly. David? Okay, let's talk about David for a second. The greatest king of all Israel. Oh, he was also an adulterer. So he had a serious sexual addiction problem. Because he had like about 100 wives or something. Not that many, but he had quite a few. Wasn't enough. He was also a murderer. Okay, another hero. Moses. We're going to talk about him later. But Moses had a great sense of his own limitation, right? All I'm trying to say, and we don't have to go on, is that the Bible, it's odd to me in a way, that the Bible seems to go to great lengths to expose the flaws of its heroes. To expose Moses was the most humble man that on the face of the earth. And yet he wasn't all that humble, it didn't seem to me, because he's looking at himself. Or there's just so many things. Or Abraham, who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Guy's a big fat liar. I think there's a reason for that. I think God's trying to tell us something. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. So let's look at a few examples real quick. You just pulled out some yourself, but I'm going to look at Moses, Jeremiah, and Paul the Apostle. We're just going to look at them just briefly and just kind of look at what they were dealing with as far as limitations goes. So first we have Moses. Now, when you think about Moses, Moses had everything going for him. I mean, he was the baby that by God's grace was not killed as a boy. He should have been. But he wasn't, because there was an edict from the Pharaoh that all the males were to be killed when they were born. But Moses survives. We know that he got put into the river. And then not only did he get put in the river and lived, he gets pulled out by Pharaoh's daughter. So he comes into the very Pharaoh who said he should be dead, raises him as a son or a grandson or something. He's in Pharaoh's house, and his own daughter raises Moses like her own son. Well, then we know how the story goes, and most of us do, I'm sure, but he ends up then, he's a shepherd. He's really become a nobody. He's out in the wilderness. He's been out there for a while. Everybody's forgotten about him. He's all out in the middle of nowhere. And again, God appears to him in a burning bush out in the middle of the desert. So this guy, really Moses, over and over and over again, there's been one miraculous thing in his life after another. And I don't know about you, but you'd think, yeah, I'm pretty special. But we'll see how he feels about himself in a moment. Because he was actually hampered, deeply hampered, by his own sense of limitations. If we look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, it says, the Lord says, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then God said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that is I who sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. So Moses felt the limitations of his own status, so to speak. Who am I? So he did not think he was all that in a bag of chips, did he? He's just some, his life, as far as he's concerned, his life up to this point has been an utter failure. He grew up with all this privilege. He made one stupid attempt to try to rescue his people, Israel, which completely failed. He has to flee for his life, and he's been in the desert. We don't know for how long, but this is kind of towards the end, I think, so it's almost the 40 years that he was out there. This guy's been on the back burner for a long time. Who am I? Who am I? And I think for most of us in this room, that's probably our biggest question. We have this sense of call. Maybe there's something you feel you're supposed to do, a risk you're supposed to take, but you're over. This sense is, I mean, I know I've had it. Who am I? Why would you choose me for this job, God? So he felt the limitation of his own status. But that's not all for Moses. Moses gives us two here. Because a little later on in the story, what does he say again? So Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And most translators or, you know, people that study the original Hebrew basically say, you could just say, I stutter. So I stutter. I can't speak well. I have a speech impediment. So Moses felt the limitations of his natural abilities. He was being called to be a public speaker, basically, and he was trying to tell God, yeah, you got the wrong guy. He was painfully aware of his own limitations. Second, we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah received a call from God. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, and God speaks to Jeremiah and says he's consecrated him and appointed him to be a prophet to the nations. But then Jeremiah's response is, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak. Now, I just got to say, I wasn't going to highlight this here, but what's one of the number one fears of most people? Public speaking, right? It's nothing new under the sun, man. The first two people we've looked at are like, ah, public speaking. Nah, I'm too aware of my limitations. But then he says, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go. Lord, I have a speech impediment of some kind. All right. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And it goes on to say, see, today I have appointed you as a prophet over nations and kingdoms. Jeremiah felt the limitations of age. He felt the limitation of age. Now, in Jeremiah's case, he felt he was too young. But speaking to this congregation, I'm wondering if there's some of you here that don't think you're too old. But I think sometimes as we grow older, We take that as a limitation as well. I've seen some powerful people on the mission field in their 60s and 70s that went on the mission field in their 60s and 70s. So I'm just saying, we're not too old. And we're not too young. We're not too young. We're not too old. Then we have Paul, the great apostle of the gospel. Before Saul's conversion, Paul was Saul, before his conversion, he was a persecutor of the Christians. In fact, he traveled from town to town in pursuit of all who called themselves Christians. Some of those he even put to death. Saul was not a very good dude. He thought he was a good dude. He thought he was doing this all for God. But he killed people who were Christians. And Saul, if you carefully read his letters, he never counted himself worthy of handling the gospel, but knew that God's grace was greater than his limitations. Because what's Paul's limitation? I'll read the verse here in a second. Paul's sense of limitation was his past. He felt his past life disqualified him from really from what God called him to do. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. This guy killed people. Our great hero of the New Testament, outside of Jesus, obviously, was a murderer as well. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. And he goes on to say, and all this results in God receiving all the honor and the glory. Paul was painfully aware of the limitations of his own past. So in looking at the lives of these three biblical characters, how did they overcome their limitations? How did they overcome their limitations? Isn't it? Because that's what we want to really get focused on now, right? Okay, I got it. You guys are like sitting there going, enough already. I got it. I know I have limitations. But that question that I just asked you is kind of a trick question, because they did not overcome them. They did not overcome their limitations. God did. God did. They acknowledged their limitations, and then God is the one who overcame them. And really, this is one of the keys to taking hold of the truth that grace is greater than our limitations. Let's just take a quick look at key phrases in each of the passages we looked at today. To Moses, God said, I will be with you. And again, he said, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. To Jeremiah, God said, I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And to Paul, in a different passage than the one we just looked at, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I think this is one of the reasons, if we really think about this, and we look at our biblical heroes, I think one of the reasons that we're made so aware of their limitations, of their sin, of their hurts, everything, we see them for who they are, is because it should become painfully clear, and hopefully clear, actually, that if God can take and use people people like that, then God should be able to do the same thing with me. That God's grace is greater than my own limitations. That the grace of God empowering me, I can do great things for God. And then who gets the glory? God does. Because I know I can't do that. So God gets the glory. So how do we overcome our limitations? We don't. You don't have to sit, because if you're striving and trying to overcome your limitations, again, where is your focus? It's on you. You're focused on yourself. You're trying to make yourself better. I want to tell you, that's not going to work. I'm just going to give you some news today. We can try to better ourselves all we want, and I'm not, there's some balance to what I'm saying here, I guess, to some degree, but the point is that It's not about focusing on ourselves and just trying to do better. It's about surrendering to the grace of God. It is about yielding, acknowledging your limitations, and then trusting God to move through you in spite of those limitations. In fact, to move through you, maybe even because of those limitations, and do so in such a way that God receives all the glory and the honor and the praise. I do think there are two things I just want to encourage you quickly to do. Number one, I do think that this is how you can kind of move in this direction and work with God. But I want to encourage you to devote yourselves to knowing, and I know many of you have been followers of Christ for a long time, but to devote yourselves or continue to pursue knowing and doing the Word of God. Now, why would I say that? Because when we start getting into all these, you know, oh, I just can't do it, and I'm just not able, and just blah, 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 blah. What are we doing? We're listening to lies or ourselves, right? I got more news for you. You're the wrong person to listen to, okay? We need to listen to God. We need to see what God's Word says. We need to look at the examples we find in God's Word, and we can look at that example, and we can say to ourselves, man, if God can do that through David, or if God can do that through Jeremiah, or if God can do, if God can use prostitutes and people who were not even supposed to be allowed into the house of God, you know those two are in the genealogy of Jesus on his earthly side? You look back at his, what a heritage for the Son of God. Prostitutes and people that weren't supposed to be in the even in the house of God for 10 generations. If God can do that with them, what can he do with you and me? Hallelujah. We need to know the truth. When we know the truth, we can combat the lies of the enemy or our own minds that keep us down and living in our limitations. But the second thing, and this is what I really want to leave you with this morning. The second thing is stop focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on yourself. Man, when I go in, you know, I mean, again, I need to be careful. There's a time to be reflective. There's a time to acknowledge your limitations. But if we get stuck there, if we get stuck in this inward just mess of our own minds, it's going to tear us up. And it's going to keep us down. And we'll never find the liberation or the fullness of all that God has for us. So my heart is to encourage you to put, and it sounds so basic, but I'm just going to say it anyway, put your trust and confidence in the power of God, whose grace is greater than your limitations. I mean, it's just, I know it's kind of basic 101 stuff, but we talk about it, but I believe God is appealing to you through me today to really look at this afresh and anew and to put your trust in the power of God, whose grace is greater than our limitations. I'm going to, as I'm almost done here, I just want to go back to the verse that Anya read at the beginning and just really try to listen to it. Let it sink in. I know sometimes even for myself, even when someone's just reading the Word of God and, you know, I'm thinking about something else. But allow this to speak to your heart this morning. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if I am full of God, that pretty much demolishes my limitations, right? I mean, I'm either full of God or I'm full of myself. Actually, for most of us, it's probably a little bit of both. There's kind of this battle going on, right? Even if we don't try to make it a battle. I think you get what I mean. I want to empty myself, and I'm not done with this path. I want to empty myself out. I want to surrender and yield more of myself so that it's not about me. It's about the power of God and the Spirit of God flowing through me to extend his kingdom and to bring glory and honor to his name in everything that I do. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. But now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen, who is able? I love when the scriptures do this, or when in English we're trying to translate something from another language. And look what we have to do to capture the words used here in the Greek. Who is able to accomplish abundantly far more. You don't have to use all three, right? You would just say abundantly more than all we, well, I guess there's two, but abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Again, who accomplishes abundantly more, far more? God does. Not me. I don't accomplish abundantly far more than all I could ask or imagine. In fact, I bumbly or whatever, you know, I just stumble through everything on my own. God, may we be a people who allow you, who open up our hearts, who give grace, to just receive your grace that is greater than our limitations. The more we relinquish our limitations to God, the more grace we receive, and the more glory goes to God. Amen. And I just want to leave you with that as we're going to move towards communion. But just think about that. It's like the dam that Andrew talked about yesterday. If you're not letting the water just flow through, you're not going to have any power. God's pouring out his rain upon us. God's blessings are available to us. But when we're just trying to do our own thing, we're just keeping all those blessings like behind the dam. God's heart is for us to relinquish, to open up the doors. Let the King of Glory come in, as it says in Psalm 24. To open up those doors. Put aside those things that where you're trying to do it all on your own. And allow the grace of God, which is greater than our limitations. And the more we do that, the more grace we'll receive, and the more glory will go to God. I'm just going to move right into communion because I want to connect this idea that God's grace is greater than our limitations. I just see it, and you could say weaknesses would be a word that I would maybe put synonymous with limitations. God is greater than our weakness. God is greater than our limitations. And to me, communion tells me God moves through weakness. It's almost weird how God does that. Because what did God say to Paul again? Paul said, I'll delight in my weaknesses. Why? Because God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is displayed in your weakness. And when you think about communion, think about it. God, in essence, became weak. I mean, when Jesus was a baby, he wasn't going to just survive on his own. He was dependent upon his mother and his family as a child. He grew up. And he could have called legions of angels to come, and he could have set up his power and authority right here on earth and just forcefully ruled over everybody. But that's not God's way. Jesus displays ultimate weakness in a sense and ultimate trust when he died on the cross. Jesus made himself weak so that you and I could be strong. Jesus made himself poor so that we could be rich, it says in Scripture. He made himself weak. He died on that cross, but he died trusting something, didn't he? He surrendered himself, trusting in the power of God to raise him from the dead. See, I think sometimes we're maybe afraid to acknowledge our weakness or to be real about our weakness with God. Because maybe we're not sure God's going to catch us. That if I really step out believing that God's going to do something when I feel like I can't do it, is God going to just leave us out there? And I wonder for a moment if that's not how Jesus felt. My God, why have you forsaken me? But in that moment of weakness, if we can call it that, the entire course of eternity was changed. It's powerful. To me, it's powerful stuff to contemplate this morning as we think about taking communion. And what I'm asking you to do this morning, when you eat the bread, and I'll lead you in that in just a second, when we drink the cup, I'm encouraging you to fully identify with your own weakness. Fully identify your limitations. And then just to take those limitations and weaknesses and just allow the Lord to nail them to the cross. Because if we would just allow God, if we give our weaknesses and limitations over to God, I believe we come out the other side resurrected, where grace is then displayed through you and through me to display the power of God and the love of God and the glory of God, and God gets the glory for all that. Amen? So let's take the bread and just hold it for a moment. Acknowledge before God right now that I am weak, God. I'm limited. Things in my life, Lord, that hold me back. Fears. My own sense of self. My past. My inabilities. And as I eat this today, God, I humbly acknowledge them before you. Let's eat together. And I know the cup represents his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins, but I'm actually going to ask you to do something a little different today when you're drinking from the cup. But I want you to contemplate his resurrection. I want you to contemplate just the fact that you've identified with the cross, but God doesn't leave us there. That he brings us into a newness of life, into new power. He, as Christ, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells within you and me. Let's identify with that even as we're drinking the cup today. Lord, I thank you that you identify with our weaknesses. I thank you, God, that you are a miracle-working God. That you take our weakness, You take our limitations, God, and you show yourself mighty and powerful through them. So, God, I ask that you would just help us to fully identify with you in both your death and in your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.